Time now for your comments. Many of you wrote in appreciation of our report marking the third anniversary of the beginning of the Iraq War. Matt Silas of Los Angeles notes, I have not heard a finer, more troubling piece of reporting than Mike Schuster's 3 years later, The Path to War. With this piece, Mr. Schuster provided the sort of perspective and service that all journalism should aspire to. But listeners also challenged the details of President Bush's landing on a Navy carrier in May of 2003. We said the president landed his own jet fighter on the USS carrier Abraham Lincoln. The aircraft was an S-3B Viking, which is now mainly used as a patrol jet, not a fighter jet. And while President Bush did take the controls of the plane during the flight, he did not land the plane. The tricky landing was done by a Navy commander. This week, we interviewed author Marilyn Johnson about her book, The Deadbeat, on obituaries. In our introduction, points out listener Constantine Dillon, you made a common error in reporting the deaths of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Both men died on July 4th, but this was not the 50th anniversary of the day both men signed the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration was adopted on the 4th of July, 1776, but Adams and Jefferson didn't sign it until August 2nd. And our profile of musician Al Anderson, who played in the band NRBQ, brought a long-ago spring day back to Jim Conrad of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It was his junior year in college, and his housemate had invited the entire band to their house. NRBQ, he writes, spent the night inside their bus, parked in the side yard, and played for us in our living room. Thanks for the memories of something that happened over 30 years ago. And if you hear a story that takes you on a trip down memory lane or something just catches your ear, drop us a line. Go to npr.org and click Contact Us. Quite some time ago, Chuck Willis had a plea. You didn't listen to him, but you gotta listen to me. We'll get